Hello and welcome to the What's Cooking podcast. This is our Adjusting With mini-series where we're chatting to some of our past guests to hear updates on how their businesses are going and highlight any new initiatives that they might be working on at the moment. They'll be talking us through how they're adapting to challenges and generally keeping going during this time.
If you want to find out more about these guests that we're chatting to, and we definitely recommend you do that, you can scroll back through our archive and find whole episodes with these guests. You can learn about their businesses and what they're about. We really hope you enjoy these mini episodes and that you find some kind of comfort or inspiration in what they have to say.
There's, you know, obviously there's lots of things to be concerned about for people, and not negating that, but I think the slowing down is a really amazing thing to be forced to experience. Mm.
There's so much good stuff that's come out of this, for sure. It's a matter of, like, I've read so many times so many people saying the same thing, but when we go back to normal, like, to not rush back to what normal was before, because, like, there's so much good stuff that's come out of this period.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I hope people can take some of it on board, whether it's working more from home, you know, just that flexibility to even do gym classes from your house. Is just, maybe it will alleviate some stress if you've got that more flexibility in your life.
And thinking about, like, when it comes to food, about, like, you know, the effect this has had on the understanding around food waste is immense.
Really?
Like, you cannot go to the shops and pop out and buy something that you need. You've got to use what you want. And I put a thing up on stories the other night saying, like, because I was about to go onto Radio 5 on Tuesday night, so a couple of days before, I just wanted to do a bit of kind of extra research, and I said to people, what's the, like, one main way that your cooking has changed during this period? And I had over 600 answers, and the vast majority, I think there were like three or four that weren't fully positive, not really negative, but people saying things like they're used to cooking for friends really often and now they're just cooking for themselves, which is making them sad, or people that were like medics and not having any time to cook anything, so they, you know, not really positive things. Everybody else saying how much better they've got at being flexible with cooking, being creative about using stuff up. Like, the war on waste, this is the biggest win that we could have hoped for, because everybody is just being absolutely forced into, you know, realizing how important it is that you don't waste stuff. Mm. I'm sorry it took this much for that to happen, but it did.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
No, I think what's been interesting is, I think, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying that they're working through their cupboards, and, you know, all those, like, random dried beans you have in the back of the cupboard. And
now's their time.
You know, now's their time, exactly. And it's cool to kind of hear that people really are using up their stocks and being more kind of creative about it and actually enjoying that process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So the last time that we spoke to you, and listeners should definitely listen back to your episode because there is loads in there. The last time we spoke to you, you were just about to launch Green.
Oh my goodness. I was trying to remember when it was, but okay, so it was last May, maybe? March?
Maybe even March, maybe. And we were talking about how you can't predict which recipes are going to be the most successful.
Yeah.
And what's come out of it? What's been making?
I have, like, the book has, nearly a year now since it came out, and it has really come into its own in the last month. I'm so pleased that I've got no idea, because nobody knows why these things happen, but Amazon put it on for $1.99 on Kindle, which was just brilliant, because then, you know, time again, when people are asking me for ideas and ways to use things and advice, like, the answer is in that book. So being able to say to people, like, for $1.99 you can download it and it's all there, has been really a brilliant resource. I just think getting, like, as I hoped would happen, it's not that it's vegetarians and vegans mainly buying the book, it's just people that want to eat more veg, And that's been like the message time and time again, that people have like been trying to, maybe it starts off as a day a week they're trying to go meat free, or just get more of a variety of veg into their diets, try things they haven't tried before, all that sort of stuff. So that's been, you know, I've been told that time and time again, which I'm really pleased to hear.
Yeah, I want to say I love it. I've used it so much. I recommend.
What have you been cooking?
So I've loved the savoury granola. I've made that so many times.
I love it.
Better. The tofu is amazing. The roasted tofu.
With the broccoli one.
Yeah, so good. I'm loads, honestly.
I'm really pleased. Oh, I love it. I just love, love, love seeing what people are cooking. And obviously, at the moment, everyone's at home and cooking more. So, normally a day doesn't pass that someone doesn't make something from the book and tag me, which I always just love. But at the moment, it's like coming thick and fast because people have got time to try new things out and actually, you know, revisit their cookbooks and maybe not just flick through them, but actually use them, which is lovely.
Yeah, and I think what's so great is that they will be able to find most, if not all, of the recipes in the supermarket or wherever they're going to get their supplies.
Yeah.
And it's pretty...
I'm also super keen to encourage everybody always to be open to substitutions and stuff. That's how you learn to cook. You know, I mean, give people the confidence to, like, how can I make swaps? What's possible? And right now, those skills are enforced. You know, if you go to the supermarket and you can't find udon noodles, you need to think about, like, right, what other noodles can I use? Once you've come home and you've tried it with another kind of noodles and you know if you think it worked or it didn't work, whatever, then you've now got a new skill in your arsenal. You know how to swap noodles in recipes, like, and you realize it doesn't really matter, and that actually, why have I chosen udon noodles for that recipe? Because they're really squidgy, and how will it affect the, you know, enjoyment of the dish if you use a different noodle? Okay, it's different, but maybe I like it better or whatever. That's how you learn. So those sort of cooking lessons are being absolutely enforced on everyone, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, kind of following your sort of stories, Ellie, it seems like you've become kind of a cooking agony aunt, which I think you kind of always sort of have had that hatch, but even more so now. And it's amazing to sort of see how you're able to really keep up with that and answering people's questions. And I guess was that sort of overnight, suddenly you found you had so many people getting
so I would say, like, I went in really hard, really fast, and I did hit a point of burnout after a couple of weeks, because I was super aware that everybody's doing everything they can to help. And in my way, one thing that I can definitely do to help is to provide that service to as many people as I can. And I had a lot of new followers really quickly, because everybody very kindly was spreading the word that I was the person to come to, and, you know, Ellie was able to help. You should speak to Ellie. She'll be able to tell you what to do. And that's amazing. And I love that, you know, people see me that way. But what ended up happening is that I built up a real sense of guilt of not getting back to everybody, because there's people that didn't usually follow me that are, you know, desperately in need of help, and they're messaging me. And I was, honestly, no exaggeration, I was working probably 16 hours a day trying to get back to everybody's answers, and all day, every day working. And I am by no means on the front line. People are doing way more serious, important, dangerous things than me, but I did feel like it was something that I could do to help. And that became a real issue, because I can't answer everybody all the time, and I was getting loads and loads and loads of the same questions. So what I started doing was trying to be a bit more structured and organized about it, and doing these Q&A sessions. So then the questions come in, and using that question box feature that you've got on Instagram stories, having questions come in, looking through them, and I would have hundreds every day, look through them, try and work out what the kind of themes and the regular questions. There'd always be some random person that's got some really specific random thing that, you know, more often than not as well, these questions can be answered on Google. So I'm like, I really want to help you, but actually Google it. Like, you will know, can I freeze cucumber? Like, look it up. There's help that I can give people when it comes to other sorts of things. So what I tried to do was to kind of filter out the questions that I thought were easily Googleable, look at the things that actually needs a bit more explaining, or that might be helped by showing people, or just the things that a lot of people are asking over and over again, and things that would be hard to find the answers on Google. So I would look at all the questions, gather together the frequently asked questions, Google it myself, work out if there was a clear answer or not. So you see, all of this takes a lot of time, and it became like it's a full-time job. So I would then go away and think, actually, if you Google this question, can I freeze cucumber, you will see a load of answers really quickly saying no, don't do that. So then I'm like, I'm going to scrap that, because, you know, I'm not going to add anything to that conversation. But then there'd be other things, like people would say, I've got a glut of something, what's a good way to do it? Or if I am going to freeze this, what's the best way to do it? And I'd find that actually, if you Google that, there'd be loads of conflicting advice. And I knew that I had my way that I would do it. So I'm like, right, this is somewhere that I can add value to the conversation. So I would then put, you know, note that that was one of the questions I was going to answer. Then I have to record the answers or the videos or the tutorials or whatever I'm going to do. And consistently, I'm getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages through all the time as well. And the guilt is building up of like, I'm just trying to get back to these guys. And then there's more coming through. And as soon as I start posting the answers, people are like, oh, she's answering more questions. And I get more and more and more and more and more. And some people, you know, everybody's spending a lot of time at home. A lot of people are on their own. People are spending a lot more time on their phone. And I'm getting some people sending me like loads and loads and loads and loads of questions. Like, I'm sorry, but I cannot answer everybody's questions all the time. And I think people started to see that I was just trying to do as well as I could. Like, I'm really trying. And then I carried on doing Q&As pretty much every day. And then I realized that a lot of the same things were coming up still over and over and over again. So I organized them into highlights, and I kept saying to people over and over again, please check back what I've already answered, because I bet you'll be then. I'm sure there's a better way of organizing. I've thought about maybe doing like a to z bit of like, you know, if I've got chickpeas, what do I do with it? If I've got gram flour, what do I do with it? You know, some sort of thing. But that's again hours and hours of work, and the questions are still coming thick and fast, so there's only so much I can do. But then I started moving a bit away from just doing straight Q&As and trying to do, because I was getting loads of messages from people saying they were really enjoying the kind of video tutorials and stuff, and actually I want to do a mixture between being helpful and also providing like fun and nice and uplifting content. And actually I was washing lentils in a video, and I had so many messages from people saying they found it super relaxing and they've watched it over and over and over again. I never knew that, you know, people listen to those, like, what is it called?
ASMR.
Yes, exactly, ASMR. Like that. But people are like, oh, I never knew that washing lentils was so relaxing. But so I've just been trying to do like bits and pieces, but every time I do that, it takes hours and I'm still getting loads and loads and loads of questions. So I've got a bit of an internal battle of what's the best way to help. But I'm just doing my best.
Yeah, I hadn't realized how stressful. Yeah, but hearing you,
it's ridiculous, because I'm not like, you know, God
no
knows.
But, yeah, but you're still offering so much support to so many people, and that's really helping people's mental well-being and everything, and their physical well-being through the food. But yeah, people certainly need to be respectful and mindful that this is, you're just one person and this is a free service that you're offering.
And I'm not trying to like sell loads of books. You know, if I sell a book for $1.99 on Amazon or Kindle, I don't get any money. People don't understand how publishing deals work. Like, that money doesn't come to me. I'm not saying go and download that book because I'm going to get $1.99 in my account. I wish. But what I am saying is I spent years and years and years writing three books that are full of my work and everything I know. And it's like, you know what, how you can actually support me and say thank you for the service I'm providing is buy the book and read what I've already written, because so much work's already gone into it. And if you want to know about like the best way to use a can of beans, there are so many recipes that I've already written that are there, and you can download it. And I'm providing, like, I never ever ever used to write full recipes out on Instagram because I don't think it's the best place for them. There's too much, you know, it doesn't fit in and it's not right. But what I've been trying to do is to include more information and like fuller recipes than I would usually.
Are you doing other work? I mean, this is so much, and you're not being paid for this.
No, so thank God that since I spoke to you last, I now have my Waitrose column.
Yeah, amazing.
So I started writing that last summer. Thank you, which is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I absolutely, it's my dream job. And I have an amazing editor, Alison, who's been a food editor for years and years and years, and working with her is just a joy. That's a monthly column, and I write four recipes for them, and like trying to navigate this new world of how can you write a recipe when you don't know what people are going to be able to get, and you don't know, you know, the recipes that I usually write for them, we do like 2 months in advance. So all of these lovely, like, celebratory Easter recipes I'd written have been shelved because it was just completely inappropriate to publish them. Hopefully they're, you know, they're still there. They're still going to get used hopefully next year or whatever. But working with Alison and working out how we're going to produce new recipes, we can't shoot any recipes because it's totally unethical to buy food for food shoots and have people working together in a studio. Like, it can't happen. So she's very cleverly worked her way around it, using like illustrations and stock images and stuff like that. There's all various ways of making it work, and she basically, as always, has given me like free rein. So my next column comes out next week, and I basically said to her, this is what I want to do. I want to do some really adaptable recipes. I want to do stuff that people could maybe make a big batch of something and share with a neighbor. I want to do something fun that people might not have tried before. And she just like basically said, go for it. And I managed to get the ingredients just before we all kind of went into lockdown. And then amazingly, Katie, who double tests the recipes, had everything already in her stores that she needed to test the recipes again. So, which was just very lucky, because she obviously not going to pop out to go and pick up something. Tested them, and like they went brilliantly for her as well, so they're coming out next week, which is great. And they're still, I'm on contract with Waitrose, which I'm in an incredibly fortunate position, because I'm freelance, and like other workers, I can't teach at Divertimenti because we can't, the cookery school's closed, but yeah, I'm just so grateful to still have that Waitrose work.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Are they at Divertimenti doing any online things?
We spoke about it, but I think they are just trying to get through each day. Apparently the shop was super busy because everybody's at home and cooking more, and like people want to come and buy baking stuff to, you know, bake with their kids, and the shop was doing really, really well. So I think they're just trying to kind of, they've loads of staff down because people were unwell. So the cookery school is just at the moment is closed.
Yeah,
I miss it a lot. I really love teaching and I miss it, but I'm getting my teaching fixed by recording videos.
Good.
And obviously you're someone who's quite used to working from home and managing your own time. What's kind of, has anything sort of changed with your routine and how you structure your work? You know, with the Instagram stuff, have you sort of given yourself, you know, points in the day where you'll do that?
No, I never do, and that's the problem. That's why I suddenly I look at my phone and my Instagram usage is, you know, 8 hours or whatever, because I've been working on my phone all day. The main difference is that my boyfriend is at home, and he usually works abroad a lot, so he'll be back for a week or so, and then he'll go away for a couple of weeks, and that's how our lives are. He works in sports broadcasting, which is obviously not happening at the moment because there's no sports to broadcast. So he's at home all the time, which is lovely. Like, we love being together. But I'm used to having like the pattern of our lives usually for the last year at least, when we've been since we bought our house, is that we have this like time when he's at home and we'll be kind of off. And I try to not schedule work that I have to do during that period, and we'll just hang out and have a nice time and, you know, go out for lunch and go for walks and just basically chill out together. Then he'll go away and I will squash all of my work into that time, and so we have this really like feast or fast way of living, which suits us both really well. And I don't have to think about anybody else. When he's away, I'm in the house on my own, and I can get up in the morning and like recipe test and write and do stuff all day and not even stop for lunch or dinner if I don't want to, or, you know, work solidly and fit in, you know, two work days into each day, and go up and down to London to teach and to, you know, do whatever, and that's fine. And then he's home and we hang out. But we're now at this weird place where kind of he's home and we're hanging out, but I've still got work to do. And then he's really amazing at helping me, and he's been helping me, you know, either actually holding the camera and videoing me or helping me with lighting and like all bits and pieces that it's nice having someone, because usually I do all of that on my own, and helping me, you know, with washing up and all that stuff. And also he's here to help me eat everything. So usually when I'm recipe testing, I'm surrounded by food, then I have to eat things or freeze them. I never ever waste any food anyway, but now we're actually able to like test recipes and eat it together for lunch or dinner, which is really nice. So we have been eating like so well, just because that's like, you know, that's the main joy at the moment, isn't it? It can't go out or do anything. So, but yeah, my days are, I've never been good at structuring ever. Like I wake up in the morning and I start kind of semi-working all day, so I kind of never feel like I'm off and I never feel like I'm on, and I've always been rubbish at that all the way back to, you know, doing homework. I'm very bad at having off time and on time, and it's the same now.
Yeah, I guess, but before that structure that you had before, if that was working for you, you still had that time off. I
guess yeah.
Now the difficulty is you've really got to enforce it, because it's not being kind of enforced for you. That's tricky.
Yeah, I feel like I would literally have to turn my phone off and hide it, bury it in the garden to stop me working. Because when if I'm like, think, right, I've got to file that copy, I've got to take those pictures, I've got to send that thing off for approval, I've got to do, you know, all actual, you know, paid work, and then I think, right, I'm going to answer some more Q&As because loads of people are waiting for stuff, so then I'll do that. And if I'm going to record answers, then I say to my boyfriend, like, I'm just going to go and do that for like a bit, and I'll do it, and then more questions are coming through that I'm trying to answer people about that, and then suddenly I'm like, oh shit, we've got to start making dinner. And then I'm looking at the answers that people have sent to things that I've posted or whatever, and then, you know, the day just goes. So it's very, when people say I'm just going to use Instagram for like an hour, if I did that, I would come back to my phone and have even more stuff. I just try to stay on top of it, but I think I'm rapidly proving to myself that I will never stay on top of it, and I have to just let that go.
Yeah, like,
yeah, you can only do what you can. Exactly, there's only so much that you can do, and as you say, you know, a lot of it will be sort of repeated questions, and by going through what you can, you're still helping so many other people.
But I really don't want to be moaning about this at all. First of all, it's what I've chosen to do. Secondly, it has absolutely 100% helped me through this time as well. Like, helping other people is the only thing that's kept my head straight. I haven't had a moment to actually sit and worry or stress too much about things. It's just like head down and work, and that's actually kept my head together. So I'm not in any way wanting to kind of bemoan the position I found myself in, because I've chosen to do it. It's just the challenge I'm finding is not being able to get back to everybody, and how I best deal with helping as many people as I can.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair, and I totally agree. I feel lucky, I feel grateful to be busy, because it's a distraction.
Yeah.
It feels similar to normal. Normal, whatever that is. So definitely I feel you on that. Are you kind of looking forward to anything? As in, are you thinking about the future and how this is going to...
As far as kind of my work and what I do is concerned, I'm just like, I've been banging this drum about reducing food waste and being flexible with how you cook and stuff for so many years, that actually this, you know, in the midst of all of this awfulness, the massive light is that a lot of people are learning to be better cooks and are enjoying the challenge of trying new things, all the stuff that I think is so important all the time. So I'm excited about the idea that there'll be, you know, even more interest in that sort of thing. That's a good side to this. I really hope that we don't rush back too quickly to the old normal. I hope that, you know, it's so, the weather at the moment is making everything even more like intense, but going outside and walking, I went for a walk in the nearby woods this morning and I just want to cry when I'm outside. It's so beautiful and we're so lucky to have that. And you know, people that maybe just get in their cars each day and drive to work and then drive home, the fact that this kind of 1 hour allowed is making a lot of people. I saw two old people scooting down the pavement this morning. But I, look, just being outside and enjoying nature, and like, I often, if I'm working from home, I often go days without leaving the house. And I just think now, like, don't ever take that for granted that you can go for a walk somewhere beautiful around here. Just, we have discovered so many open spaces near our house that we didn't know were there, which is ridiculous. And we've, like, every day we've been going for a different walk, and like, we found ourselves walking down the edge of a golf course today, and like, the sun's shining and the trees are like absolutely bright green and the birds are tweeting. And I just, yeah, I want to everybody to get outside more than they ever used to, because I think it's just the best thing. Nature, man, it's the best.
Yeah, completely agree.
It's so, you're so nice, lucky being in the countryside.
Yeah, it's I feel really fortunate, I have to say. And we what's really exciting at the moment is, because we got here in September and it basically just rained from a week after we moved in until
welcome to Wales.
Yeah, well, exactly. I don't know what we expected. And now, you know, finally we're getting some nice weather, and it's every time we go outside, we'll like notice a new wildflower and the bluebells are starting to come up on our hill. And it's really exciting seeing the changes. And yeah, I think like you're saying, you've got time to actually appreciate just tiny little things that normally life just kind of engulfs you and you don't really consider. So it's,
My friend planted some tulip bulbs in our garden when we first moved in last May, and I didn't even really know what she planted or anything. And they've come up, and I didn't realise this because I've never paid attention, but the flowers close in the morning and open up in the day and close again at night. Did you know? I didn't know that. But I'll come out in the morning and see the tulips and like, hi guys. And they're like, they'd be tight. And then in the day they'll open up and I'll go back and check again. And then one of them lost their petals the other day and it was like, oh, and I'm like, Prince Charles talking to the flowers. But they have brought us so much joy. And my boyfriend like cleared out all of the weeds in the garden, has planted some veg, which we now have to practice patience and wait months before anything happens. But just, I just took my garden for granted, like kind of opened the back door sometimes and sat on the grass, but didn't, like, we don't know what was planted because we inherited a garden. So didn't like, oh, that tree's nice. But now every single thing that changes, like, because it's spring as well and the leaves are coming like really quickly, what used to just be like a twiggy old thing out the back is now completely covered in beautiful kind of like oxblood leaves, and like everything every day is changing. And I could just, having any sort of outside space is such a blessing, and I just cannot feel sadder for people that are stuck inside flats and stuff that can't go out and haven't got outside space. Like, it must be incredibly difficult, especially if there's kids there as well.
Yeah, hopefully we can hold on to this hour outside, because I think that's a lifeline for a lot of people.
Yeah, geez, definitely.
Is there anything else that you think we should kind of mention that you're doing, or anything you want to kind of say?
I'm so impressed by how so many of our local cafes and businesses and stuff have like pivoted so quickly, and just, you know, people just doing whatever they've got to do to make things work and to help people. And there's this organization, Bristol Food Union in Bristol, which have been doing amazing work. Like, a lot of chefs have been cooking and delivering food to the hospital and for people that are in need. A lot of work being done with care leavers and kids that would usually get free school meals. Like, all of these needs and these issues not only have carried on, but it's worse now, you know. The vulnerable people in society need looking after more than ever. And what the Bristol restaurant scene have done to work to help that is just been amazing. But other like small businesses that have found ways to keep getting, like, you know, even if it is cake and things that aren't essential items, those are the things that are keeping people happy. And if there's, you know, florists that have found ways to get flowers delivered to people, or cake delivered to people's doors or whatever, like all those things, everybody's trying to do their bit. And I think it's just amazing. And I think like food is always the most important thing in my life. But I think that the people's understanding of the food system and how food gets to them has like completely increased. Like people used to go to a supermarket when you want something and it's just there and you take it. And now if there's not something there, they're forced to think about and learn about why hasn't it got there? What's the chain from the, you know, when there's stories on the news about asparagus being wasted in the field because there's not enough people to pick it. A lot of people don't, you know, if you work in the food industry, you understand that, but lots of people just don't even know or care. You know, they go to the shop, they buy the asparagus, they come home. And now it's like, if those migrant workers don't come to help, the asparagus won't get picked and it won't come to the shop. Okay, so if you say, we don't want any migrants, what happens? Okay, so, you know, it's not just about food, it's about a much, much bigger story. And I think that people are being forced to learn about that, which is amazing, because everybody should be aware of where their food comes from and how important the farmers are. Because, you know, if we're not looking after the land and the farmers and the animals and all the other parts of that part of the food chain, then we're screwed. And I think that a lot of people are totally oblivious to how food gets to their plate. And this period has changed that for.
Thanks so much, Ellie. That was really great just to hear what you've been up to. And I mean, I knew you were busy on the Instagram. I didn't realise you were doing so much.
I feel like my head's going to explode sometimes, but.
Yeah, but definitely take it easy and don't feel guilty. You're doing the best that you can and people will respect that.
I'm trying to be a bit more structured today. Like someone asked yesterday about have I got any good salad dressing ideas, and the old me a couple of weeks ago would have just, you know, put a link or whatever. And now I'm like, actually, that could be a really nice relaxing video to make. I can easily talk to people about salad dressings. That's like a lot of people just go and buy a bottle of salad dressing and it's the easiest, simplest thing to make. And then it's a skill for life and you don't need to buy a packaged plastic bottle of salad dressing anymore. So I'm like, right, okay, I'm going to start from really, really, really basic of like literally you can put oil and vinegar straight on your salad. And then I'm going to talk about, you know, making vinaigrettes and about, you know, other things you can add to it and then some other options and stuff. And I'm just doing it a bit more on my terms, like providing useful content, but actually what's going to be a nice thing for me to make that's going to be useful for people forever and that's going to have, you know, not just like, how do I use these adookie beans? Quick, they're going off in my cupboard. No, that's useful for one person for now, but I want to try and like use this time to, I was going to say to skill up, but I also think it's really, really important that people don't put pressure on themselves, especially when they've got to carry on working or homeschooling, whatever. It's like, oh my God, I haven't learned how to perfect sourdough bread, or I can't believe I haven't made my own kombucha yet, or whatever. It's like, I don't want to add to that pressure at all. But what I do want to do is to push home that message that learning those basic things now will serve you for life, and they will enable you to shop more sensibly, to reduce your plastic consumption, all those other things. Like if you know how to make your own salad dressing at home, it's a really great thing forever. So I'm going to try and make that a bit more of my focus about building people's understanding of food and recipes a bit more, because I think that's going to be the thing that will be the gift that keeps on giving, rather than just, you know, plugging my thumb in the dam right now.
Yeah, I think that's really smart, and that kind of separation of where am I giving that expertise and where is my knowledge and where is it, like you said, you can just research that on Google very easily.
Don't freeze a cucumber.
That's a good message.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Ellie. Lovely.
You're really welcome. Yeah, you too. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah,
you too.
Bye.
Bye.